Now, when Luther speaks of the good news or the gospel of Christ, he's thinking there's only one gospel. He always talks about the gospel. So he's not talking about one of those four books called the gospels in the New Testament. There's the gospel of Matthew, gospel according to Mark, gospel according to Luke, gospel according to John. Those are four different ways of telling the one gospel story. For Luther, there's one story about Christ, many different ways of telling it. So there's four different gospels in the New Testament. But that's not the only place that you run into the gospel in the Bible, Luther thinks. The letters of Paul in the New Testament are frequently telling the story of Christ. And also the Hebrew part of the Bible, which for Luther, as for other Christians, is called the Old Testament, is called the Old Testament because it is the ancient witness to Jesus Christ. And therefore, the Old Testament contains lots of the gospel. That's what the prophets are doing. They're predicting Jesus Christ, and therefore they're telling the gospel in advance. So there's one gospel, many ways of telling it. And Luther's always fundamentally focused on this one gospel, this good news about Jesus Christ, which is a story about Christ. That's the crucial content of the gospel. The content of the gospel, as a matter of genre, let us say, is a story. It's a narrative genre. It's a story about Jesus. Surprise, surprise. This is, so far, nothing controversial here. The story about Jesus is a story about what he does to save us. He dies for our sins, all that sort of familiar Christian stuff. The gospel is a story that also contains what we can call doctrines, that is, teachings. Christ died for our sins. He was raised from the dead. That's all familiar stuff, too. But then there's something else, and here's where we get to the controversy. Luther has things to say about the gospel. Think of this difference. It's a rather technical, but I'm going to try to work through this to clarify what the gospel is for Luther. There's the gospel and its content, on the one hand, and then there's doctrines about the gospel, right? The gospel and what it contains, this story of Christ, and then doctrines about the gospel. Luther has a very distinctive and controversial doctrine about the gospel, and that's his famous doctrine that we are justified by faith alone, and he'll add, apart from works of the law. What that means is you become saved, justified, your relationship with God is set right simply by believing the gospel, simply by believing this story about Jesus. Faith alone, just by believing it. That's what he means. Apart from works, which is the second half of the formula of this doctrine, means you don't have to do anything about it. You don't do something about the gospel, that would be works. You simply believe it's true. And that saves you, that changes you, that makes you God's child, and all that. That's the doctrine of justification by faith alone. That's the doctrine that all the fighting was about in the Reformation, or at least it's the central point of all the fighting in the Reformation between Protestants and Catholics, as we'll see. We'll spend a lot of time on that point in these lectures. Now, let's think through this as we sort of introduce ourselves to Luther's key concepts now in this first lecture. Why would Luther think that just believing something makes all the difference? Just believing that it's true, that's all there is to it. Why would that save you, justify you, make you a child of God, and all that? Well, there's one more feature of the gospel as a genre of discourse that we should look at that will help explain this. The gospel is a story, but it contains promises. And Luther will very often speak of the gospel as the promise of Christ or the promise of God. Think of how a promise works, and then we'll talk specifically about the gospel promise. I can put a ring in your hand and say, look at this ring, isn't that interesting? And that's mere words. I'm just describing something real, and the reality is the ring, and the words are just mere words. But there are some words that do what they say. I can put a ring in your hand and say, I give you this ring. And then my words are not mere words, they are an act of giving you the ring. A promise often works like that, right? A promise is not just mere words. A promise gives you what is promised, if you're willing to receive it. You could, of course, say, I don't want this ring. Don't give it to me, right? But if you acquiesce, if you just sort of open your hand and let the ring fall into your hand and you don't even say no, well, that's what faith amounts to for Luther. Because what faith amounts to is saying, well, God's promise is true. What God promises to give, he actually has given. Let me illustrate what Luther is thinking about here by giving you a crucial example of a gospel promise, probably the central example of a gospel promise for Luther. You all know the story of Jesus at the Last Supper with the bread and the wine. He takes the bread and he breaks it and blesses it, and he says to his disciples, "This is my body given for you." Luther loves those words. They are at the center of his life because he interprets them, of course, as a promise in which Jesus Christ is giving you what? Himself. Not just a ring, but rather he gives us his own body, saying, "This is for you." Think of how that works. It's rather like a wedding vow, right? Where one person promises not just a ring, but him or herself to the other. And by making this promise, they do what they promise, if the other person's willing to receive it. And that willingness to receive it, that's faith. Just saying, "Oh, you're giving me this ring. You're giving me yourself.